Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome back to the Royal Family Podcast. This is Austin. I'm Tyler. But Austin, how you doing today?
Doing pretty good, man. Ready to hop into these rapid fire hot topics, if you know what I'm saying.
Right. Well, we only have one topic, but it is hot. And we're going to go over Royals free agency offseason moves stuff today. Because there is quite a bit of rumors. There's been quite a bit of talk on our priorities. And there are quite a few thoughts that I know I have. And I imagine you do as well.
Absolutely.
So let's just jump into it. Let's start off with some trade rumors that we've been hearing. I'm going to go over the trade rumors that I would like to see happen the most. First off, we have one that was talked about quite a bit during the trade deadline this year as well, and it is Boston outfielder Jarren Duran. The Royals are in desperate need of corner outfield help, and a lot of reports have come out that the Royals are going to try to target Jarren Duran. And I think this is a clear choice that the Royals should consider. He's a solid defender, a great bat, an elite base runner. We especially need base running. And it would fulfill the left field needs that JJ has said that we need. I've heard a lot of rumors about who could possibly fit into a deal like that. I've heard Chris Bubich, Noah Cameron, Ryan Burgert, Stephen Kolick, Blake Mitchell, our number one catching prospect, and Ramon Ramirez, our number two catching prospect. I've also heard, mainly from the Boston side of things, of Vinny Pasquantino. And let's hope that's not real. I don't think we would ever do that right now, but it also wouldn't shock me. Because while I think JJ has done a solid job, it hasn't been enough to completely earn my trust yet. So hopefully it's not Vinny, but I would love a trade for Jarren Duran. I wouldn't want it to be our only move, but I think it would be a good move. And so I put together a little mock trade. Take this with a grain of salt, but my mock trade is Boston sending us Jarren Duran, and we send them Blake Mitchell and Chris Bubich. Would that be enough? I'm not sure. I think some Royals fans would say that's too much, but from what I'm hearing, Chris Bubich is not getting the value that the Royals think he would get. So I'm not sure if Boston would even be interested in him. I don't know if that's because he's really only had one great season as a starting pitcher, if it's because of the injury they're worried about. Not sure. Those would all make sense. But yeah, so not sure that this trade could happen, but that would be my pick of who to send over there for Duran. I will say reports do seem to indicate that Duran might be headed to the Dodgers, which makes me want to, it makes me die inside a little. But the most recent thing that came out suggested that we're still at least a possible landing spot for him. So I'll hold on to hope for now, although it's looking less likely than it did a week or two ago.
I think anything is possible, but I think, unfortunately, when you're competing with a team like the Dodgers, who has, feels like, unlimited resources, you just, it's hard to keep up. So we'll see.
My second most intriguing trade rumor I've heard, also losing a bit of steam, but we're here to talk about it. Brendan Donovan from the St. Louis Cardinals. Personally, I think this is a match made in heaven for the Royals. A major upgrade in base running from our last second baseman. Actually, a major upgrade in base running in general. A middle of the road, middle of the pack kind of defender at second base, but still an upgrade from Jonathan India. And a very decent bat that I think would be perfect to lead off, at least against right-handed pitching. Michael against left, if you ask me, but who asks? Some rumored possibilities for this trade is, again, some starting pitching. I've heard Noah Cameron. I've heard Ryan Burgert. I haven't heard much more, surprisingly, but the Cardinals are definitely in need of some young starting pitching, and we have quite a bit of that. Because of those needs, even though one of these people, well, actually multiple of these people weren't mentioned, my mock trade, and I kind of feel like I'm cooking on this, probably not what they want, but my trade would be we receive Brendan Donovan and we send Ryan Burgert, Stephen Kolick, who wasn't mentioned in what I've read, but there's no reason that he wouldn't be an attractive offer if they're looking for young starting pitching. And then Michael Massey. Michael Massey, obviously, to, you know, replace the second baseman that they would have just given us. Pretty cheap option and an incredible end to the season, I would say, which I'll talk about a little more a little later. But I feel like this trade could be intriguing to the Cardinals. I will say the current status of all things, Brendan Donovan goes as such. First of all, it seems like there's a ton of teams interested in Brendan Donovan. I have a quote here that said, with some reports suggesting that more than half the league could attempt to acquire the all-star second baseman. Although that is the case, it seems like the Royals and the Guardians are in the driver's seat with possible deals. However, it does seem that the Guardians have a slight edge on us, from what I'm reading. So I don't know if they'd be willing to give everything I put in my trade. My guess is they're not, because I feel like that trade would be very valuable. Maybe Stephen Kolick doesn't have the value I think he does, but I feel like he probably should. Anyways, we are second to the Guardians right now in the Brendan Donovan sweepstakes. And if we want to get him, we're going to need to spend something that we've been hesitant to do in years past. But I have faith we would be willing to be a little more aggressive and a little bigger of spenders. Because we're going to need to do it for both Duran and Donovan if we want to get them. And I personally think a perfect roster next year includes Duran and Donovan. I'd love to see both of those trades happen. And if both of them did happen, I'd be good.
Yeah, I don't know if it is the fact that Berger and Kolick were in the Freddie Fermin trade, and I associate that with Freddie. But not that we shouldn't trade for Donovan, but I'm like, wow, is this too much to give up? I mean, it's putting a lot of, and of course his resume speaks for itself, but is this too much stock to give up for Donovan?
No. First of all, we saw Ryan Burgert kind of blow up at the end of the season. We know what he's capable of, but he's still incredibly young, and we don't know if he's a consistent person for like over the length of a career. And we also know he only had one quality start because he really couldn't get to six innings all year besides one game. And then Kolek, we only saw, I think, three or four starts from, which were all very impressive. But again, not much sample size. And even with all of that, you could still argue we're giving up too much. But with how much pitching depth we have, I would argue that we wouldn't be giving up too much. Steven Kolek is not, I don't think, even likely to be on with the current team we have, is not likely to be on the opening day active roster. So I personally feel like it's not too much, but I do hear you. Some other possibilities I've been hearing. Another possible one from Boston. Right fielder Willier Abreu is another piece that Boston seems willing to move, and I think would be a good second option in terms of outfielders. If we aren't able to get Duran, he has elite defense, solid bat, a below average base runner is the one drawback, especially with us trying to improve on our base running. But I think he would be super valuable, and I think he could probably play left field as well. I personally, if I were making the trade myself, I would send Ramon Martinez, our catching prospect, Steven Kolek, John Rave. Am I sending John Rave because now they need some more outfield depth? Or am I sending John Rave because I want him off my team? Who knows? But he's in there.
Either way, the job gets done.
And then David Shields, who is our top pitching prospect currently. And then the only other rumors I'm hearing is that we might possibly, this was also talked about during the trade deadline during the season as well, but we might possibly trade someone to the Angels for either Joe Adell or Taylor Ward. Now, I personally, assuming the other outfielders don't work, I personally would love Joe Adell. I think he's coming off a breakout season with 37 home runs, 98 RBIs, a 7.78 OPS. He could be a solid everyday bat in our lineup. And even if he was a little worse than last year, because he has been known to be a little inconsistent, I think he could be that platoon bat that JJ has talked about many times now, wanting to split time with Jack in right field. I think he would fulfill that role pretty incredibly. And I think he's the one drawback.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Is like, oh my God, looking at his outs above average this year, he was terrible on defense for some reason. I don't know why. He was better at right or better at left field than center field, obviously. And we don't need him to play center field. So essentially, putting him in right field and just working on his defense a little more, I think he could be very solid. That is one thing that Taylor Ward definitely has on him, is much better defense. He'd be $11 million for just a one-year rental. And Joe Adell is quite a bit cheaper, and he's not going to be a free agent until 2028. So I personally, if we had to trade to LA, assuming the Boston trades don't work out, would love to bring Joe Adell to Kansas City.
Yeah, I think he made some really great points looking at the Boston guys. I would definitely much rather have either Duran or Abreu over Adell or Ward.
So yeah, now we're going to get into some free agents. And Austin, do you want to start us off with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
So the second player I've got on this list is a guy who can give us some outfield help. He batted .277, had 17 homers and 54 RBIs, splitting time this year between the Twins and the Phillies.
Okay, let me guess. Oh, that's Harrison Bader.
Yes, Harrison Bader, the ex-Cardinal. He had a 4.4 WAR this past season. As I mentioned, pretty decent batting average at .277. This one, kind of like you just mentioned, with free agency, maybe not quite a hot commodity as Polanco, but I think a very solid player that can give us great outfield stability. I think realistically, we can probably get him for around 12 to 15 million. He did decline his 10 million option to return to the Phillies, but again, we'll have to see. I think he would definitely be a secondary outfielder to look at as far as the tiers of guys you really want, with, I think, Abreu, Duran, and being maybe that first tier of players you want to try to go after. But if that doesn't work out, free agency is there, and I think Bader would be a great fit for the Royals.
I think Harrison Bader is intriguing. It does appear that he'd want 20 to 26 million for a 2-year contract. So, what'd you say, 12?
Yeah, like 12 to 15.
I think that is, that might even be high, your estimate. So, that definitely could be good. I think if we did sign him, we definitely want to look at trade options for Kyle Isbell, because I don't think Harrison Bader is going somewhere to be anything but a center fielder. So we'd probably want to see if we could get something good for Isbell first, and if we could, which obviously we've already discussed some options for a trade like that, then that would definitely be worth looking into. But go ahead with your next guy.
My third and final one is a bit of a curveball, pun intended. And he's a former Royal. He is a relief pitcher. Oh, no. Yeah, I know.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. I know. He was 4-1 this past season, had a 2.97 ERA, 1.23 whip. He did struggle, I'll be honest, the last handful of games of this past season. His body of work when the Royals, he didn't really perform the greatest, if I'm being honest with you, but I feel like since leaving the Royals, he's kind of figured some things out. His 2024 season was pretty good. He had a 0.85 whip. Like I mentioned, that went up a bit this past season. But his name, are you able to put in a guess? Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
He played this season for the Guardians. His name is Jake Junis.
Jacob Junis.
I call him Jake. But anyways,
he
yes.
Doesn't like that.
Oh, he doesn't? Oh, I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Let me go back.
We'll talk to him about forgiving you. And what is the hole that you're seeing in our bullpen that needs to be filled?
Well, you have to replace Sam Long, of course. This isn't like this
hold
is something
for
we
laughter.
This isn't a move that I'm like, oh, we need this, otherwise we're screwed, or oh, this makes us immensely better or anything like that. I just think he would be a solid bullpen piece that gives us added depth. We saw it this past season. Obviously, I don't anticipate this happening again, but if the injury bug were to take over the Royals again, as far as the rotation, starting rotation is concerned, it's good to have a solid bullpen to back that up.
I could get on board with that if we end up trading a bunch of bullpen guys to get something good on offense. I would say right now our biggest problem with the bullpen is having too many guys and not knowing who's going to make the starting roster. Mm-hmm. In my personal opinion.
Yeah.
I think needing to replace Sam Long is kind of a funny thing to say, because getting rid of him is better, is like is replacing him.
I know.
I respect that if he is cheap, as you say, and if we get rid of more of our bullpen, but not sure I would jump at that too much.
From my extensive research, he'd be somewhere between 3.5 and 5 million for a season.
Yeah, that's a little expensive for a relief pitcher. Another free agent possibility that is probably not on any Royals fans' radar, or on very little, is Miguel Andujar. And Miguel is the left fielder for Cincinnati. He became one of the better contact hitters in the league last season. And would really fit into what JJ said he wanted out of a right-handed platoon batter to split time with Jack in right field. Honestly, one of my favorites, though probably not going to happen, one of my favorite possible signings. He just seems like someone no one is really paying any mind to, someone who's going to be really cheap, and somebody who can just fit so many needs on the offensive side for us. The problem with that, his fielding, it would be a bit of an understatement to say it leaves a bit to be desired. And he's also not a great base runner. So,
nobody is.
I do understand not wanting to sign him. But as a platoon guy, I really think you get a lot of bang for your buck. He's likely to cost about $5 million per season. I'd throw him a 2-year deal, see what he can do. That's my dark horse for this free agency race. And then the last little thing I wanted to mention, one move that seems very possible to happen that I don't want us to make, and that is re-signing Carl Yastrzemski's much worse grandson, Mike Yastrzemski. Although Yaz was valuable for us at times this year, many times this year, he didn't seem to me to like really know who he is. He didn't go out every day being like, this is my role, I'm going to get this done. In my opinion, he would be like incredible at drawing walks against right-handed pitchers, which is what we got him for. But then all of a sudden, he'd hit one or two home runs in like back-to-back at-bats or back-to-back games, oftentimes swinging at the first pitch, which I think is mainly just an element of surprise thing going on there. And then because he hit a couple home runs so close together, he'd be like, okay. And I'm not saying this is what he actually thought, but this is how he played. For the next 2 weeks, he'd be like, okay, I'm a home run hitter. I'm going to start swinging at every pitch. I'm going to start trying to hit every pitch out of the yard. And then he would go on like a 2-week slump until he'd eventually come back, do the same thing, rinse and repeat. And even with that happening, he was still a solid platoon guy to have. But then Q all of a sudden stops using him as a platoon guy and started putting him in the lineup against lefties, started putting him high up in the lineup against lefties, or higher than he ever should be in the five spot. In 2025, he hit .138 with a .204 on base percentage against lefties. In his career, he's .211, .284. Multiple times in interviews, I saw Q call Yaz a lefty who could get on base well against lefties, which is why I am making the statement that I don't trust Q to use Yaz in the correct way, and I really would like for us to not sign him.
We've seen the Royals spend a little bit more than we're accustomed to historically since Sherman took over the team, and when you have a guy like a Bobby Witt Jr., a generational talent, a cornerstone of the franchise, you have to surround him with other talent. We have a lot of talent that's already on this team. Cough, cough, wink, wink, Michael Garcia, get an extension done. But you have to completely you have to continue reloading each season because other teams are getting better. You have to get better. And there were obvious deficiencies that we saw in the Royals last year, things that are fixable if you make the right moves in free agency and off-season trades. So I am cautiously optimistic. There's a path forward, but now's the time for JJ Piccolo and ownership to seize the moment and get better.
I couldn't agree more, although I am boldly pessimistic. But hey, that means I get less disappointed. So appreciate you all joining us on this, not this week. Appreciate you all joining us on today's episode. Say goodbye.
All right, bye guys.